I want to ask a question tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? We've been talking about prayer, but more than that, we've been talking about being a person of prayer. The intercessor, the one that stands for others, that takes the burden of our culture, of our land, of our people, of your family, of your community, and bears that burden to God. We have the examples during the time of Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah that in the midst of God's judgment because of sin, he was amazed, he was shocked, he was astounded that people weren't going to prayer. People were not asking for his help. And that speaks to the lack of spiritual force, spiritual character. Are we in a day of spiritual glory? Is America being the example of Christian virtue? No. So what is it that keeps us from being the prayer warrior that we wish we were? What is it that keeps us from making this a priority in our life? John 5, 6 to 9. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you even want to be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Acts 3, 6 and 16. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Explaining all this, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts 9:34. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. If we consider in our life, the lack of intercessory prayer is like a great weakness and a sickness. In John 5, it shows a man at the pool where healing was given, but he remained weak and sick. Jesus asked the searching question, Do you want to be whole? Now, the man understood this question. Now, he doesn't say, Yes, I do. He explains why, if he wanted to, he hasn't already been made whole. See? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So if you think about what he's saying here, it's as though he answers, Yes, sir, I do want to be healed. I am here every day just for that opportunity. The only problem I have is that when the waters are troubled and the angel is ready to heal someone, one who is not so bad off as I am goes ahead of me. Others like me go in before me because they have a friend that puts them in the water before I can crawl over. The only reason I have not been healed is not my lack of desire, but my lack of friends. I have no man. They have a friend, I have no man. Jesus then, demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit, tells him something that seems impossible, beckoning to Peter at this, from walking on the water, Peter on the boat, Jesus beckons him in, come, walk on the water. Can't do that. He told this man, rise and walk. If he had said, what, you know, salute, pray, he could have done these things. But he pointed out what he desired, but couldn't do. I want you to think about this. This was the one thing he could not do in his own power. At this moment, be the man for a moment. At this moment, everything depended on whether or not the man believed that Jesus had the power to heal. See, the question is, would he attempt to rise and walk simply because Jesus told him to do it? You know, the response could have been, I can't. That's why I'm here. But Jesus had commanded him. Jesus had the power. Now, Jesus is always telling us to do the very thing we have no power to do. He's doing that today. Why aren't you the prayer warrior that you wish you were? The answer may be, I haven't put it first. Maybe I'm just too weak. Let me share with you a raft of verses here. But the spiritual life of health involves walking. I don't do much walking. If it weren't for the stairs in my house, I wouldn't get any exercise at all. But spiritual walking. This is where we have to have some measure of strength. The walking, of course, is symbolic. But think about what it symbolizes. Genesis 5:22. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Walked with God. Genesis 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect or upright in his generations. And Noah walked with God. It speaks of a healthy relationship. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect, or upright, or sincere. Genesis 24:40, he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. This is, he's speaking to the servant who later says, I went out, God was with me in the way. I being in the way, God was with me. God led me. Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, literally change their strength, from no strength to having strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Spiritual strength here. Psalm 89, 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Luke 1:6, and they, this is Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, were both righteous before God. Notice, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. To the church, Romans 6:4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The question is, do you see yourself walking in strength with God or lying by the pool waiting for some healing? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then Paul put a little smiley face there in the end of the verse. You see? No. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill, or fulfill not, the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Summarizes the whole Christian progress. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, when we beseech or request you, brethren, and exhort or beseech you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Get some spring in that step. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If you talk the talk, you ought to be able to walk the walk. Where does this leave us? Over and over and over again, the people who had a healthy relationship with God are spoken of as walking, and here's a man laying by the pool where healing was offered once in a while, but he was not walking. If you feel that such a life of godly and spiritual walk is not possible for you, not me, it's not in me, whatever, consider the man at the pool. If you cannot believe that you can walk with much prayerfulness before God, can you believe Jesus? He did, see. When an earthly doctor sees a patient, he gives him a treatment, a prescription, or both, and sends him away. Jesus is just the opposite. When he heals by connecting forever. He enters into the patient, becomes a part of him. He does not make the patient independent of him by the healing, but dependent. When we misunderstand spiritual truth, we think Jesus will perform one work of grace in us, I got saved, and set us on our independent way. Now I have to struggle up the mountain of obedience. The reality is this: we are never to be on our own again. Everything is to be Christ. It is the life of Christ that becomes our health. Our relationship with God is not one where he does the greater part and we do the lesser. Let that sink in just a little bit. Our relationship with God is not one where he does 90% and we do 10%. It is a relationship where he raises the dead and gives them new life. Lazarus, lying dead for 3 days in the tomb. Why didn't he get up and leave? Because his brain wasn't telling his body to do anything. His body wasn't listening for the brain to do anything. He was dead. Jesus said, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And then Jesus went in, picked him up, threw him over his shoulder, carried him out. No, he didn't do that. In fact, Lazarus comes struggling out. They didn't wrap his legs separately like they do in the mummy movies, you know. He's all wrapped up like this, shrouded all around him. He let him struggle out. The work that he couldn't do, Jesus did. The work that he could do, God had given him new life to accomplish. So, here's the point. God does it all, but so do we. Peter walking on the water. He couldn't have done that if Jesus didn't say come. But he had to walk, and we saw the failure there because he took his eyes off the Lord. True dependence on God gives us true independence, and that is freedom in life. This is true independence from what we were, true independence from the world's authority. So Jesus asks you tonight, do you want to have a strong prayer life? Do you really want to walk? Like the men at the pool, the answer that brings success does not and cannot depend on you and your power. It depends entirely on your willingness to believe Jesus will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. This is where I want you to be tonight. So, four applications. Number one, do you want to be whole? Is this something you would like? Is this something you desire? Is this something you would fondly wish? Well, then, you must admit you cannot do it yourself. You must admit, and notice, even to yourself, that you are really sick and weak. I'm a Christian, yes, but you're not the Christian that you wish you were in this matter of prayer. Number two, I have no man. Let us come to the place where we depend on no one but Jesus, not ourselves, not someone else. He wants us to look to him as our only helper. The scripture gives us warrant for this, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, God, living within you, also helpeth our infirmities to do what? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God is willing to take up that slack for you. Number three, obey the command of Jesus when he tells you to do the very thing you know you cannot do. Don't dismiss it. Don't say, oh, that's silly. Step out in faith, Peter on the water, that he who calls you will perform his miraculous work. Walk in faith, not by sight. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And number four, remember that the man rose and walked. Now, having committed yourself, John 5:9, immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, walked. The same day was the Sabbath. Once you have committed this to the Lord, then begin to act as one who has the strength to dedicate yourself to intercessory prayer. We've talked about setting up a prayer time and so on. You just want to go with that. Assume that you can walk now. Obey the power of God. It says the same day was the Sabbath. Of course, this is leading up to the story where he gets Christ gets criticized for doing this work on the Sabbath. But there's something else here. The Sabbath means a day of rest. Donna called and was asking, how do we know what day the Sabbath was and so on? And she was trying to find out when God told us what the names of the days were. I said, well, no, the thing is, Sabbath isn't a day of the week. Sabbath is a day of rest, whenever it occurs. They had on their Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night, was their Sabbath, was their day of rest. But there were many other holy days that were also Sabbaths. So think about this. This man was healed. He walked independently. He walked independently of other men for the first time in a long, long time. Why? Because he finally got his willpower together, but because he had finally rested entirely on Jesus Christ. So I call upon you tonight. Have complete faith in the power of Jesus to make you walk with God. Therefore, rise up and begin to do just that. Consider that your feet will not pass through the plane of the water. Consider that you have the ability to stand and walk. Banish the thought of your failure. Expect the success of Jesus. This message is going to be easy to take the wrong way. I'm just going to wait till he does it. But you see what I'm saying is, we believe him. We've asked him. We believe him. And so we walk in his strength, not ours. Comments, questions?